This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is the Back to School series, and today we're focusing on the Oakland School District. Superintendent Jeff Clark, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me today, Kyle.
So overall, talk about the district. One of the things I've noticed in the course of this series is a lot of people are familiar with whatever school district they're in, but they don't really know much about some of the other ones. And so talk about the number of students and staff and your geographic area and all that.
Well, Oakland's a unique district. We are we have a big geographic area, but a really small town. The city of Oakland only has about 850 people in it, but our district is I think the second biggest geographic district in the county. Lots of farmland and expanding areas. We are growing very, very full this year. We got about 650 students, which is about 25 up from where we ended last year, and. But a great, great little district with lots of positives going on. We have about 45 teachers and probably 90 staff overall, and just a great group of people to work with.
So border-wise, I mean, I know you would border with Sutherland. That one's pretty obvious. What are some of the other districts you border with?
We border with Elkton. We border with Yoncalla. And we border out in Umpqua with Roseburg, which stretches all the way out to Umpqua. So we have quite a few bordering districts around us.
Now, how'd the beginning of the school year go?
Beginning of the school year has been great as far as kids in the building, but we did have some hiccups. We did a seismic rehabilitation project on our middle school, on the middle school, the current gym that we have there, and the our main 7-8 hall, and we were on track to get that done and ready for kids to come in, and then a week and a half before school started, we had that freak lightning and thunderstorm that started the fires. Well, also, some of our roofs were uncovered, so we had a ton of water damage in our 7-8 hallway, which affected six classrooms in our main office. So we ended up not having our 7th and 8th graders start last week when everyone else started. But we got those classrooms repaired quickly, did a great scramble to get all those done, did a great job with that, and got middle schoolers, the 7th and 8th graders, coming in on Monday. So other than that little hiccup, it's been a great start to the school year so far.
So how is that going to work with the later part of the school year? Are they going to end up being in session later?
No, I think because we have some extra, we have extra time in our middle, built in our middle school and high school. It's our high, or our middle school and elementary school. Our high school minutes are really, hours are really tight, but the middle school is going to be okay with those 3 days.
It's got to be a bit of a hard one to deal with. There's so many things that are going on at the start of the school year, and to have that just come out of left field.
That was not fun to deal with. Yes, it was already stressful enough trying to get everything done with our with the seismic and getting the buildings ready. We weren't going to have our cafeteria ready. We have a small gym at the middle school that we use as a cafeteria. We were not going to have that ready till about September 21st. And unfortunately, this pushed that back another month as well because the floor in there got ruined and we have to replace that as well. So it definitely added a lot of stress to it, but the team pulled, like we do in Oakland, we rallied around and did the things we needed to do to get it done and provide the best opportunity for kids.
Now, if I remember correctly, the high school and the middle school are kind of like on the same sort of giant campus, right?
Actually, so is our elementary school. So all of everything that we have, elementary, K through 12 students are all up on the top of the hill. They're all mixed together. We do still use Washington School down right in the middle of town. We use the gym down there for our middle school sports currently, but everything else is up on the top, up on campus together.
And what else is that building used for downtown?
That's all. We use it for storage. Other than that, the Oakland Play School uses Washington Gym as well to for some PE stuff when it's raining. But other than that, it's just used for storage. And then the gym's still used for our middle school sports activities.
So as you begin the school year, over the process of the summer, how many new staff did you have to hire between teachers and other positions?
We hired four new teachers, a first grade, a fourth grade, middle school, high school combo, and a high school PE teacher. And then we had another four or five staff spread out, got a couple bus drivers, a couple instructional assistants. So we added some new people to the family, and it's been a good seamless transition for them to start the year.
Are you concerned about, especially as you look up the road, with recruiting teachers and other staff, getting folks involved? It seems like there's kind of a shortage issue in the field of education right now.
There really is, and that's a it's been an ongoing problem. The kind of the group of educators that have been in it for a long time have started pushing towards retirement, and more people are retiring. It's just an older, that generation that's getting close to the 30, 35 year mark, and it's been hard. It's really difficult to fill those positions. I know colleges and universities are scrambling to try and get more people involved in the teaching programs, but it's been concerning. We've been relatively lucky up to this point to be able to get them, but we have some people that are on emergency certifications and working in programs and not necessarily able to go the more traditional route to become certified, and that comes with its challenges, but it just means you got to do a little bit of mentoring on a day-to-day basis as they come in and kind of learn the ropes.
A few years ago on the statewide level, there was that change that allowed for these emergency certifications and to sort of create another pathway in. And, of course, that was controversial at the time and maybe still is. I'm not sure. But if you look at where things stand, where would you be now if that pathway wasn't there?
Well, there's kind of a two. They do restricted license and emergency licenses. And the emergency license, we've been fortunate enough to stay away from. The emergency license that they opened up for people that don't have a bachelor's, we have not hired any teachers that don't have a bachelor's in place and just had to start working on their master's program. So we did hire some teachers that had their bachelor's in other areas, in subject area bachelors, but then we hired them and kind of got them trained on the ground on our end, and then they entered generally an online education program to kind of learn the ins and outs of that. Like I said, that leads to some challenges. They haven't done some student teaching. They haven't been around, in some cases, been around high school kids or elementary or whatever age level they're going into. So it definitely makes the learning curve very steep and puts a little bit more pressure on your administrators and your support staff to help them go. But like I said, we've been fortunate, and the people that we've been able to bring in have done a fantastic job of picking up the slack and taking care of business on their end.
Now, do you ever have some folks go from being teaching assistants to ultimately becoming teachers?
We've had a few people that have done that, and it's been that's a great transition if they already have their bachelor's. That have came in and done their IA. We have an elementary school teacher right now that's done that, and she's done a fantastic job. Spent some time at the high school and then at the middle school as an aide, and then turned around and took a teaching position, and it's been great. That's a bonus because they're able to kind of get a feel for what the day-to-day workings within your school look like, and then be able to kind of put that into play when they step into that teacher role.
So anything new this year in terms of key staff or curriculum, things like that?
Well, we got a couple things going on with the with our construction projects that we have going on in the district, which has been that. But as far as programs, the new literacy grant that was passed through the legislature, that's great to have a focus on K-2 literacy, and that's really important in trying to close the learning gaps that we had from COVID that have taken place, and to get kids kind of back on track. But it's difficult when those things get rolled out and we have money to spend this year, but there's very, very directed in how you do those things, and the guidance for that isn't really coming out till October, November. Applications due in January, but we have money to spend this year. So kind of a lot of things that come down from the state make it difficult on the districts to manage all the hoops that we have to jump through and be able to get the things done to get into the classroom and really affect and help kids.
Now, you mentioned the construction project with the retrofitting and all that. Do you have other ones going on?
We do have a couple other things going on. We used some ESSER money that we got from the federal government, and we are building a covered play area at the middle school, which is a really big ask for them. We've been trying to get that done for a long time, so we were able to use that ESSER money that came in for that. And then we're also we haven't started this yet, but we're working. We have plans in place to build a district office because our district office that used to be down at Washington School, we moved it up to the elementary school. And then because our numbers started to grow, we've then kind of pushed the district office people around in different places, and we kind of have them spread out throughout the district. So we're also going to take some ESSER money and build a district office so we can get us all in the same place. And then we also have a seismic rehab grant for our 5-6 hallway, the other part of the middle school that we are in the testing phases and pre-construction phases throughout this year, and we'll knock that out next summer. And then we also have seismic applications for our other four, two for the high school gym, the high school building, for the elementary cafeteria and the elementary building. We have those that we will apply again on December 15th, and hopefully continue to do that. And we'd like to stack all four of those and continue on over the next 4 or 5 years and get all of our buildings in the district seismically rehabbed so they're prepared for an earthquake.
And what about the issue of the age of the buildings? How old are some of your buildings?
Oh, they're not young. Most of the high school and the middle school were built in the late 40s, early 50s. Our elementary school was a little bit newer. It's, I want to say, late 60s. High school gym's the newest one because it burned down in the 70s and got rebuilt. But again, it's still needs some seismic upgrades. But it makes it difficult. And when you break into a seismic project, they're a challenge because you only get a set amount of money from the state. And your commitment is once you get into that building, you're going to finish the project no matter what. And if it costs double what the state gave you, you got to figure out find that money and get it done. So it's a challenge with those older buildings.
And I know once you get into those, you really oftentimes you have an idea that professionals can kind of guide you as to what you may encounter, but that can really vary once you get it opened up.
There's no doubt about that. And we have ran, this has been a really difficult doing the gym cafeteria and the main 7-8 hall. We've ran into so much more asbestos that we didn't have, some unreinforced walls, some foundations that weren't done like we thought they were, some plumbing issues. The more you dig into a building that's 80 years old, the more crazy things you find.
So what about the security aspect? A number of years ago, some of that began to change, and schools started to look at how they were constructed, and I know some money has been provided in some circles to help with that. How does that apply to Oakland?
Well, we've worked to do a lot of different security upgrades along the way, but we also have some things on tap with where we have a general obligation bond levy that we have on the ballot for November, and as part of that bond levy, if we're able to pass that, between that money and the matching money we have from the state, we're going to do some safety vestibule entryways in all three of our buildings and do some exterior lighting to add to some of the exterior cameras that we have, because safety is our number one priority, which is also why we're doing these seismic rehabs. So if the time comes that we do have an earthquake, that our building's going to uphold that and try and keep our, because our number one priority, aside from the obvious of educating our students and providing them the best opportunity on a day-to-day basis, is really the safety and security of our students and our staff.
So for the district, as you look at the security areas, is it tough to figure out with the building design exactly how to do these vestibules?
It really is. We're fortunate in the sense of our three buildings all have a main door entryway. And then as soon as you come in, you turn a corner to get to, you go right to the main office and you turn a corner to enter the building. So it did work out in that sense that we could throw, put a wall up there and have buzz entries to get access to the building. It's going to be a challenge for our office staff that have to then manage that traffic and so forth. But again, like I said, safety and security is one of our main concerns, and we want to make sure we're doing everything we can to keep everyone safe.
Now, you mentioned the bond. When is that going to be in the election?
November 7th, the election day. So ballots will hit the mailboxes in mid-October. We're asking for $6 million from our voters. We have a matching $4 million from the state. So if we pass that, our voters will be given a $6 million. We'll have $4 million from the state, so we'll have $10 million total. We want to do those safety vestibules, some exterior lighting. We also are going to, as I'd mentioned earlier, we have our middle school activities, volleyball, basketball games, practice and play their games down at Washington, at the old Washington Gym, which was built in like 1915, and it is in really, really bad shape. So one of the biggest ticket item on there is we're going to build a gym at the middle school on campus, so it would be up on the top of the hill with everything else. It would be a gym and auditorium, so we'd be able to do music and other programs in there as well, not just sports, and be able to give us a better PE facility for us to use as well. So that's our hope. And then we'll also do some paving around campus. And then we have some upgrades that we'd like to do to our softball field to get it a little more on par with our baseball field.
What was the process that your board went through with you and the other main staff to figure out what to put in this bond?
Well, we went through, we got with Pivot Architecture and did a long-range facility plan, where we put together really what the needs of a campus are across the way. And we found quite a few of them. When you have a campus with buildings as old as ours, we found a lot of different needs, and then we went through and prioritized them. And the reason that all the ones that we landed on all obviously are important for a variety of reasons. But the reason that we landed on the gym as the biggest ticket item that we're going on there, which is probably going to be about the $6 million piece, is because the Washington gym is just in such bad shape. The bathrooms got condemned last year. We don't have the bathrooms are downstairs in that gym, and we don't have the exits down there don't pass code anymore. So we had to shut down those bathrooms. So we have to bring in porta potties for the use of that. And it's just not a great situation for our community or our students. And so we want to try and upgrade those things. So we went through that long range facility plan, and that gave us a good indication of all the things that we need. And then we had to prioritize those out. And we feel like we created a good plan. It's a little mind boggling how fast $10 million can go, and how not necessarily how little you can get for it, but it definitely doesn't go as far as it used to.
Now, how long has it been since Oakland's had a bond?
We had a bond that was a very small bond that we passed in, I want to say, 2008. It was like a $750,000, $800,000 bond, and that was a 10-year bond. It went off the books in 2018, and we floated a bond levy back then as well, kind of swung for the fences, asked for a brand new high school, which is really neither here nor there. And our voters said no, which is why we kind of refocused with this bond and spent wouldn't have been 5 years if it wasn't for COVID, but spent some time refocusing and really looking at, hey, what do we really, really need? The kind of the bare minimum of what we need to get by. And we heard the voters, and we refocused and put this $6 million ask out there as something that, well, we know that's a huge ask, and that's a burden for our voters. We felt like it was a reasonable ask. And with the seismic upgrades, the use of the federal dollars to do the district office and the covered play area, we were trying to cover our bases and doing all the things that we could do with the monies that were out there that weren't coming directly from the Oakland taxpayers. And so now this ask is really based around trying to get us over the hump and really put our district in a great place as we move forward.
Talk about your background with the district and just sort of your educational pathway after college.
I graduated from Western Oregon in 93, and December of 93. So I subbed for a little while in the county from that January of 94 to June, and then I got hired in Oakland in the fall of 94. I got hired as a social studies econ government U.S. history teacher. I spent 15 years in the classroom, and then my last year in the classroom, I also got hired as an athletic director. And then the next year, my 16th year, I took over the principal's position at the high school. And I spent 13 years as a high school principal, athletic director combo. And then last year, I ended up moving over and taking the superintendent job. So I'm starting my 30th year in the district, have been coaching basketball all those 30 years, which when I was teaching, coaching basketball was difficult. As you move into admin, it adds some new challenges, but it's been a great, Oakland's been an amazing place to be, and I feel so fortunate to have been able to spend my whole career there and work as hard as I could for a community that's as amazing and supportive as it is.
Now, did you grow up in elsewhere in Oregon or elsewhere, another state?
Nope, I'm a Douglas County guy. I graduated from Sutherland High School. My parents own a 20-acre farm out in Umpqua and raised dogs when I was really young, and then moved to dairy cows and spent my time at the Douglas County Fair every year in 4-H showing dairy cows and dogs, and then came back to the area. And I think I, just like many Douglas County graduates, I couldn't wait to get out of here. I knew I was going to leave and never come back, and then finished my basketball career in college, got my college degree, and came back in the area for a short time to my plans at that point were to get a job, and got the Oakland job. I was planning on staying there 3 years and then moving up the coaching ladder, and just haven't been able to leave. Oakland's been too great of a place with too many positives to walk away from.
Wow. And not a lot of people get to do their whole career so far not that many miles from where they grew up.
Yeah, that's. I find myself very fortunate to be able to stay close to my parents, and my brother and sister both have their families here, and been able to have some of them go through the school and been able to educate and have a part of that. It's just it's been awesome, and I consider myself very, very lucky to be able to do that.
What was the mood of the students this year as classes began?
You know, I think it was excitement. I feel like as we've continued to move away from COVID, while there's still learning gaps that need to be fixed and some retraining as far as attendance and dedication and so forth, I felt like this year was a much more positive year, and it's been gotten progressively better each year, and I think kids are excited to be there, and I think that for the most part, our kids at Oakland understand the great educational opportunities that they have, and again, they get to work every day with an amazing staff, and I think that makes it nice for them to be able to come in every day and know that, that our staff's there to do their best to educate them, but also provide the best educational opportunities for them.
So with your background in sports and with being a coach and now being superintendent after being principal, how do you handle the sports versus academics balance?
It's a challenge, you know. Generally speaking, I've always, you know, even as a teacher, believe that, you know, academics come first. Students are, you know, they're student athletes and they're students first. But for me personally, as a coach, it was a, you know, as a teacher coach, it's one thing, you know, when you leave for a half a day to go to Gold Beach for a road trip, you know, you have a substitute come in and they kind of manage what's going on in your classroom. So it doesn't take a lot of time to pick up the pieces. But when you're a principal or a superintendent and you leave for that half a day for that bus trip to Gold Beach or to Lost River or wherever the long trip takes you, no substitutes come in and step up. So that pile of work's still there for you the next day. So it's just a matter of kind of balancing those things out and making sure to give the best I can for both hats.
All right, Jeff Clark, superintendent and coach at Oakland. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Kyle. Very much appreciated.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.